Amen. Let us begin today by turning to the book of Exodus and see what God has to say about healing. So the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt. They have left Egypt and they're on their way to the Canaan land. Now, we read into this area a couple weeks ago where we saw that they had come to the waters of Marah and the waters were bitter. And immediately after the restoring of the water to sweetness, he brought them next, I believe it was to Elim, but well, let me read in the 15th chapter, start in verse 26, okay? Well, I'll go back to verse 25 so we can see where, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And he said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Well, first of all, we see that it is God's plan that his people be free of disease. Let's look at this again. He said, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. So from reading this, one could easily see that he's the one that allowed these things to come on the Egyptians. You say, well, these things come from the devil. Well, they may have, but God put them, he said, I put them on the Egyptians. And he says, I will not put them on you, but there is a condition. If, there's that word if again. If means there's a condition. If you will diligently hearken to my voice. In other words, you have to be open to the Holy Spirit. If you want to be healed, okay, open up your heart and let the power of the Spirit of God come into you. Brethren, I have really come to be aware that the Word of God is powerful. It has power in it. I cannot explain that in a natural physical sense how that works. I just know that it works. And we'll be talking about that today. Amen. I am the Lord that healeth thee. So we always want to pray according to the will of God. And what we find here, it is the will of God that we be healed. I am the Lord that healeth thee. All right, now let's look at the other side of the coin. In Deuteronomy, chapter 7, and we go down to verse 15. This is, well, let's start a little above 15. And this is really a blessing. Deuteronomy is the word that comes at the end of their travels as they're preparing to come into the promised land. And Let's start in verse 11, I guess. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Man did not know without God telling him, these are the things that God expects of you. Okay? Wherefore, it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn and thy wine, thine oil, the increase of thy kine, which is your cattle, and the flocks and of thy sheep, in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. In other words, when the Lord talks about Egypt, he's talking about the world. So he told them back in Exodus, I will not put the things of the world upon you. All right? And here he's talking again. He says, thou shalt be blessed above all people. In other words, you'd be blessed in your health above the world. Okay? The people of the world. Amen. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your cattle. Notice once again that there's only two genders here, male and female, and that goes for the cattle too. And now listen to this. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. Now, I'm reading this, and I'm thinking, and I'm asking myself the question. Well, what are the diseases of Egypt? Are they different from other diseases? Well, the first thing that comes to me is that the diseases of Egypt are probably what we would consider. I'm talking first of all. Now, this might include all disease, but first and foremost, I'm thinking of communicable disease. Communicable diseases are diseases that are passed back and forth between human beings. The one is passed to another, and this is diseases of Egypt. Well, give me some examples. Well, the flu, for instance, influenza. I think that's a disease of Egypt. COVID. As far as I'm concerned, that's a disease of Egypt. It doesn't mean that nobody has ever gotten them, but they belong to Egypt. They don't belong to us. And what are we going to do about it? Well, first of all, we're going to have our soul in agreement with the Word of God. We're going to keep His ways, we're going to keep His commandments, and we're going to order our life after his word. Now, let's look at the other side of the coin. We're still in Deuteronomy, and let's slip over to the latter part of Deuteronomy to verse to chapter 28, and we'll pick up in about 58. So now, back there in chapter 7, God was giving them the blessing. If you obey me, if you seek my voice, if you seek to obey my voice and hearken to it, then these are the things that will be given to you. You won't have these diseases of Egypt. On the other hand, let's start in here. In verse 58, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name of the Lord thy God. Yes, the name of the Lord is also a fearful name, a powerful name. Do you realize that this God is a God who has created this whole world, not only this world, but this universe, farther than you can imagine the pieces of this universe? This is our God. I mean, what kind of a God is this? Do you think, really, would you be so foolish as to believe that you can stand against him and win and accomplish anything? Of course not. So, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful. What's a plague? Well, you know what the plagues were. The Black Plague of the Middle Ages, which was bubonic plague. I think COVID is a plague. Polio was a plague. Smallpox was a plague. Influenza is a plague, as far as I'm concerned. Okay, the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful. Now, that word wonderful doesn't mean something good. It means, let me find a better definition here. It means extraordinary. The plagues will be extraordinary, okay? And the plagues of thy seed, of your children, even great plagues, and for long continuance. How long did the Black Plague last in Europe? I'm not a real good historian on this, but from what I understand, it may have lasted almost 100 years. By the way, do you know that there is still remnant of the Black Plague still going on? Did you know that? Bubonic plague. When I was working in public health in Alaska, we used to get a little flyer, I call it a flyer, a little report from the CDC. Oh, I don't know how often it came, maybe once a quarter. And you know, I was reading that thing one day and discovered that down in the so-called Four Corners area of America, what I mean by the Four Corners is where these four states come together. What are they? Arizona, Colorado, Utah. What's the other one? Nevada, maybe?
New Mexico.
New Mexico. Okay, there it is. We're in this region. There's people that live down there. In this region, I was reading that there were still examples of bubonic plague. This is spread by the fleas that are on rats. The rats die and the fleas come off, and the fleas bite the people, and the people die of these plagues. Well, this is not a good thing. Anyway, of what does it say? Of long continuance and sore sickness, and of long continuance. He mentioned that twice, long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt. So it seems these diseases of Egypt are in addition to these plagues, which thou wast afraid of. In other words, you knew what these diseases of Egypt were. You lived there. Some of them caught some of you, which thou wast afraid, and they shall cleave unto you. And every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of the law, them will the Lord bring unto thee, until thou be destroyed, and ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldst not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. Well, I'll tell you, brethren, when you read in the news what's going on in humanity today, is it any wonder that we can expect terrible plagues, COVID. You know what? COVID isn't the last thing that we're going to see, brethren. We need to get ourselves spiritually immunized against these things. Now, I want to, when we, before we get all through, I want to tell you a couple testimonies of my healing, because I have experienced the goodness of the Lord. All right, let's go to it. We see the will of God. We see the penalty if we don't follow the will of God. Now let's see how Jesus carried this out when he came to visit mankind. Amen. Because he brought healing with him. He brought healing. It was his will. Any that came to him, that called upon him, he would heal them. Let's look in Luke, first of all. Luke chapter 6, okay? And let's come down to verse 17, okay? And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, and great touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Oh my goodness, wouldn't you love to have been there? Everything that you needed insofar as healing in your body is available through Jesus Christ. It isn't just a historical fact that came to an end. He's still the same Jesus. Amen. All we need to do is get in touch and get into his will and get into the Spirit and begin to listen to the Spirit. Go back to Matthew here. We find another one in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Wait a minute, I gotta go back one more here. Matthew 4. Oh, I was on the right page. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. What are we preaching, brethren? The gospel of what kingdom? The kingdom of our denomination? No, we don't have one. Amen. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Amen. Teaching, amen. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of disease and all manner of diseases and all manner of disease among the people. He mentions it twice here. What does this mean? Every disease, every sickness. In other words, there isn't one that he can't heal. There's nothing impossible. All manner of disease, all manner of sickness. Now, there's two different words used here. All manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So sickness, I don't know. How does sickness differ from disease? If you want to say disease is communicable disease and sickness is other infirmities of the body, body wears out, different things happen. Well, he's able to heal that too, it sounds like. All right, let's move on because I want to prove the point here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. And we'll come to verse 11. So let's go back a little further. This is the charge that Jesus gave his 12 disciples. Okay? Maybe start in verse 5. in verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. In other words, start with your own people. Start in among your people, okay? But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. This is a commandment to his apostles. You're to heal the sick. You're to cleanse the lepers. All right, that's something different than healing the sick. You're to raise the dead. Oh my goodness. Gonna be raising the dead. Cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Amen. And unto whatever city or town ye enter, inquire who is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. So if I come to Kansas City, Missouri, I will inquire who is worthy in Kansas City, Missouri. And somebody will say, oh, Connie Hutchinson. And I will say, okay, I'll go and see if we can abide in her house. Now, maybe she only has one bedroom today. Well, anyway, we just make it practical. By the way, this is what we've done for years. We've got mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and children all over the world. And this is what he gave the disciples. This is what he told the disciples when they said, we've given up everything. He said, oh no, you've got more than you ever had. Amen. So, well, anyway, that's the positive side of that word. Look at it in Luke, because we're going to find something almost the same over in the 9th chapter of Luke. It's just a different recording. Here it is. Then he called the 12, verse 1, then he called the 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Power and authority. What did these two words mean? Dunamis and exousia. Power, in other words, you have the physical might, the physical ability, and number two, you have the authority. Now, you can't do anything unless Jesus gives you the authority to do it. Did you ever know that? Did you ever find that out? Amen? Did you try to do something one time and you didn't have the authority of the Lord to do it? If you didn't, it's just your words. It's just your words floating out there, accomplishing nothing. But when the Lord told them that they had authority, God has all authority over everything in the universe. And if he gives it to you, you've got it. If he doesn't give it to you, you don't have it. Amen. All right, the word of God, the power of the word of God. Let me skip a minute to the book of Psalms, because this principle is here in the Old Testament as well. Psalm 103, if you can turn to that, and it's in verse 3. Let's start in verse 1, because we want to start off blessing the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. I mean, we don't give God half a blessing, do we? We bless him with all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What do we do with all his benefits? We thank him for them. Amen. Every day, you thank the Lord for all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. It's a good start, isn't it? He forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth, who healeth all thy diseases. Not half of them, not 30% of them, but all of thy diseases. Amen. All right. Ezekiel. Let's look at Ezekiel because we're still in the Old Testament. Ezekiel chapter 34. We just have to establish that it is the will of God to heal us. You know, it is, I cannot find anywhere in the scripture, it is the will of God that we prosper. But by the way, it is not the will of God that we all become millionaires. I cannot find that in scripture. But it is the will of God that he heal us. Chapter 34, let me read, I'll start in verse 1, I guess, because this is God's order for shepherds. You know, shepherds are elders. Shepherds are the leaders of the flock, those who walk before the sheep, the mature ones, those who have tasted of the goodness of the Lord and can share the wisdom that they have learned over the years with the young ones. So let's read it. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds. So the shepherds were not doing their job here in the Old Testament. The shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds. And by the way, that would include pastors of today. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? In other words, they're making themselves filthy rich. They're earning millions of dollars. They're living in mansions worth $10 million. They've collected 3 or 4 airplanes. They're feeding themselves, okay? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe ye with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. Now, here we come. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which is sick, neither have ye bound up that which is broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. Well, you can see the picture here. One of the jobs of ministry is the job of healing and caring for the sheep. Amen? Loving the sheep. Let's look in Isaiah. I think Isaiah has something to say here too. In verse 53, I believe it is. Look in 53. Isaiah should be easy to find. Now we're talking about Jesus, okay? This is a prophecy about his coming. And I want to look at verse 5, but I want to start back. Let's go to verse 1, because this is too good a passage, just to bite into it a little bit. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as the root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. You know, sometimes I wonder, what did Jesus really look like? Was he a, shall we say, a handsome dude, you know? Somebody that would easily make a big Hollywood star, a big football-looking fellow, no, it doesn't sound like it. He might have been homely. You know? He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows. What does that mean? A man of sorrows, pain, man of pain, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Did we ever do that? Amen. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. We ran from him when we found out what he was going to go through. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You know what that means? The word stripes in particular. By the way, we could go a whole hour on just this little passage, but we'll move along. In particular, with his stripes, we are healed. Stripes, the actual meaning of that is, where did I have it here? Blows that cut in. The whip or the rod that struck his bare back cut through the skin, cut into the flesh, and brought blood. It is through that that we have our healing. He took it for us. Amen. Peter agrees with this. Let's see in First Peter what Peter has to say. Chapter 2, First Peter. In verse 24, his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes or wounds we are healed. Peter agrees with this. Amen. Now, let us see how this happens. How do we come into this healing? It's there, it's available to us, but we're not always living in that, are we? We come short of that. So let's see how we saw that Jesus gave authority for it. We saw that he healed. How do we come into this? Look in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 21. I think we can start. Well, let's start in verse 20. And behold, a woman which was diseased. A woman diseased with an issue of blood. So here's a woman that was bleeding, flowing blood, 12 years, came from behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. In other words, she made a decision. A decision by what? By faith. She said, it will happen. I know it will happen. If I can just get near enough to him to touch his garment. But Jesus turned about him, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. So her faith Her faith had made her whole. Well, let's go on. And when Jesus came to the ruler's, see, he was on his way to heal somebody else, wasn't he? He saw the minstrels and the people making a noise. They had a custom in that day when there was somebody died, they would get in professional mourners. Did you know that? They'd come and they'd howl and they'd make a noise and they'd, I don't know, they made some kind of instruments with them and, oh, I don't know, maybe they brought some kind of an organ in with them and played dirges of funeral or whatever. Anyway, they were making all this noise and he said to them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn. Well, they'd probably already been paid to come in and do their thing. And they didn't want to leave. But when the people were put forth, they were put out. He sent them out, 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 out you go. He went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame hereof went abroad into all the land. A particular example here of the healing power of the Lord. Amen. We're still in Matthew. Go to chapter 15. There's another good example. By the way, these are just, I'm just picking a few out here. Verse 28. We'll start in verse 29. What verse are we going to do here? Matthew. Where did I say I'm going? Fifteen twenty-eight. Oh, this is the Syrophoenician woman, okay? And verse 25, and came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. So what he's saying here basically is healing is the children's bread. It should be available to you. But she said, Lord, truth, Lord, she agreed with him, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. All right, so even if I'm among the dogs, it isn't my bread, but I still get the crumbs. See, she wasn't a Israelite. She was a Gentile, shall we say, okay? Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. No matter what she was, she's got faith and she's going to get it. She's going to press in until she gets his attention. Amen? Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Let's go over to Mark. And chapter 10, and get down around verse 46. And oh, it's the next page, 10:46. And we find a blind man, okay? And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Well, what would you have done if you had been blind Bartimaeus? You know what? I would have done the same. He couldn't see Jesus, but he heard he was there, and he figured if I cry loud enough, he'll hear me. He's going to come down this road, and I want him to hear me, and I'm determined I'm going to get that healing of my eyes from Jesus of Nazareth. And when he heard, okay, yeah, 48, And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Yeah, be quiet, shut up. You're making too much noise. But he cried the more, a great deal. Here's a man with faith. Here's a man who needs to have his eyes fixed. He cried the more. No, you're not going to shut me up. Amen. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Well, it got his attention, didn't it? And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Bring that man over here. That man that's crying for me, bring him over here. Amen. And they call the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calls thee. Well, crowd mentality. The crowd was telling him to shut up and be quiet. Now the crowd is saying, oh, come on over, come on over. Amen. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to. Now, why? He cast away his garment. What is there about this? The thing that was covering him. I don't need this anymore. I'm going to be able to see. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do to thee? Now, the man might have said, well, I need some money. I mean, that's what he was there for. He was begging by the roadside. He wasn't begging people to heal him. People weren't going to give him that. People could give him money so he could buy food. But Jesus said, what do you want? Do you want healing or do you want money? What wilt thou do? Amen. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now, by the way, what happened here, these are miracles. Miracles of healing. See, there's you look in Corinthians, in the gifts, there's healing and there are miracles. Miracles of healing are healing that take just like that, immediately. Now, what Rita was testifying of was not something that happened within a few seconds, but something that happens within a day or two time. The healing process is set in order, and it begins to move, and it comes into its full. God has set within the human body the ability of the cells to regenerate and restore and heal. And sometimes that process needs to be set in order so that the healing will take place. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to be healed today, brethren. Amen. Blind Bartimaeus. Okay, by faith. Now, there's something else, another principle here, the laying on of hands. Let's look while we're in Mark chapter 5, verse 21. Did I get that right? Mark 5. Oh, okay. Yeah. Mark 5, starting 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. What's he doing? What's he doing at his feet? He's worshiping him. Amen. And besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. So the man believed in the laying on of hands, the touch, the contact, the physical contact even of Jesus. He thought, This would really stir the faith if the hands of the master were laid on. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Well, this is the point where the woman with the flow of blood came up to him, and then she was healed too. Look over in chapter 16 here of Mark, and we'll find another example. And it'll be, well, what are we? Oh, I know what we're finding here. We're finding the commandment of the Lord. 16, verse 18. These are the signs that shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Amen. Are we casting out devils and speaking with new tongues? Amen. They shall take up serpents. That's by accident, by the way. You're not going to be handing them around in the room like some people do. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Amen. I remember Brother Seth telling an example of where they tried to kill somebody. They gave him enough poison to kill a horse, and it didn't affect the man at all. These things are true. Amen. They're not going to be able to poison you. It shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They shall recover. Amen. All right, let's go to the book of Acts and see how some of these things played out. Let's start in, where are we going to start here? In chapter 3 of Acts. You know, the second chapter of Acts is the filling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost. Now, in chapter 3, verse 6, and Peter and John came to the temple, and there was a man lame, it says lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. In other words, this was his occupation, to beg. He was totally lame. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. The man didn't know really what he was asking for. He asked for money. Peter and John now, okay? And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look upon us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name," hallelujah, "in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now, it wasn't just speaking the name. What did he do? And he took him by the right hand and lifted up. I tell you what. Peter had faith. I mean, you don't just grab a man as crippled as he and pick him up and expect that he's going to start walking unless you have faith. Something quickened, something of the Spirit of God quickened in Peter. A bolt of lightning hit him in the spirit, and he grabbed that man and he spoke the name of Jesus. And he picked him up, amen, and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping stood up. I mean, he didn't just walk, he was leaping and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Well, that got them into a lot of trouble with the religious leaders, but be that as it may, that's what happened. Go toward the end of Acts. Another example, chapter 28. I think this is Paul. And verse 8. This is this man on this island where they were shipwrecked. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of fever and of the bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So the man is healed. Hallelujah. Now, in order to receive the healing, I believe that we have to get our body, our soul, in harmony with God. Let me read Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Health and flesh, that refers to our physical, natural flesh. Amen? Yes. While you're in Proverbs, turn to chapter 13. And I think verse 12 will bring some life. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Amen. Chapter 16 in Proverbs, another page over, verse 24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Okay, we're not finished. Let's go over into 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we see that there is something more to be involved here. Chapter 12, verse 9. Okay, these are the gifts now. Well, I'll go back to verse 8. To one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. All right, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So apparently there is a gift of healing as well as miracles that are given to some in the body of Christ. In verse 28, in the same chapter, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, and then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues. So I say that to say, included in this, of course, is healing. Did we find, no, let's go back to Acts for a minute. There's another example. Acts chapter 5, I believe it is. Or did we? Oh. Yes, Acts chapter 5. Yes, let's start in verse 12, I guess. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified it. In other words, there was such a power of God here that some people were even afraid to come near them. Well, if they had any darkness in them, they did well, probably. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women, inasmuch that they brought forth the sick, okay, here we are, into the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Well, can you imagine what that would do to a hospital? It would put them right out of business. Amen. Close the hospital down. Well, I have nothing against hospitals, by the way. I spent my whole career, I guess, when I was working in healthcare and hospital work. Okay, did I take you to the 28th chapter of Acts already? I hope I don't have to go there twice with the same thing. Oh yeah, we already looked at that one. Okay. Now, there's something else. Let's go to the book of James. Book of James. Right here we are, right after Hebrews, the book of James, chapter 5 and verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Okay. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So here's another thing, anointing with oil. Amen. Is it the oil that heals him? No. It says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick or heal the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. So there might be a problem here. What's been holding the man back from his healing? It might be that he needs some forgiveness, or maybe he needs to forgive somebody, whatever it be. So let's come back to Matthew again. We're looking at all these aspects of healing, Matthew 21 and verse 22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Let's go to chapter 12 in Matthew. And look at verse 37. Let's go back, start at verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. In other words, by your own words, you can hinder your healing. You can interfere with it, and you can probably even invite disease in. And maybe I'll give you an example here before we get done. While we're on the confession, let's slip over into Proverbs for a minute again. Proverbs 6:2, okay. Well, we'll start in verse 1. My son, if thou art surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, in other words, you've given a word to something, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. So there's power in the word of your mouth. I mean, look at the power that came out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. If he's given you authority, you better be careful with the words that you speak. Okay? Proverbs 18, another example here. Verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Well, the next verse is good too. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth the favor of the Lord. Then I want to go to Matthew chapter 6. Well, I'll come back to that later. I'll come back to that later. I'll go to John chapter 6. We're almost done here, brethren. John chapter 6, verse 63. And here's the key. Amen. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Listen, the word of God, the life in the word of God. Matthew 10, verse 1. Maybe we already read that. He gave authority to the apostles to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. Matthew 8:8. Speak the word. Amen. Where are we gonna? Oh, Mark 8:8. Got the wrong one. Well, it isn't. I got the wrong one here. No, it's Matthew 8:8. I'm sorry. Yes. Here's the centurion coming to Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. The man realized the power of the spoken word. Amen. The word of authority. Amen. One more example here. Acts chapter 9. And this is again speaking the word. I think it's Peter and Dorcas here that we have at this time. And Peter is praying for Dorcas here. And again, there was a big crowd there in verse 40. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. Hallelujah. So he spoke the word, arise. Amen. One example again in Luke chapter 13. Of deliverance. Luke chapter 13. I haven't given them all. I just took a bunch of them here. Chapter 11, or verse 11, I mean. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. Listen to this. She didn't just have an infirmity, she had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. Haven't you ever seen people like this? They go about bowed down. I wonder if it's a spirit of infirmity. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed of thine infirmity. Now, again, this is simply the power of the authority of his word. He said it. He said, You're loosed, you're loosed. Amen. And he laid his hands on her. So he made another contact with her. And immediately she was made straight and glorified God. All right. So that was the spirit of infirmity. All right. I want to give, if I may, I want to give a few examples. I have been the recipient of the goodness of the Lord over the years. And sometimes when I didn't even deserve it. I was about 30 years old and I had come back to New York. I was born in New York, brought up in New York, spent most of my early days in New York, but I spent 5 years in Alaska in my early 20s. I came back and I was at Cornell University and then up in Glens Falls, and in the spring, when the trees began to blossom, I just got a terrible, terrible allergy. I mean, it was so severe, I couldn't stand it. I didn't know what to do. And I wasn't really in the right place with God yet in those days. I was probably way out in the outer court somewhere. But I was desperate and I began to cry out to the Lord. And I said, Lord, I just can't live like this. I can't live with this allergy. It's just so consuming to me. And you know what? The Lord was gracious and he touched me and healed me. And you know, I think it was that healing that brought me to where I began to ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was not long after this, again, it was in the early 70s, that I remember I was working at the hospital as an administrator, and I remember saying to somebody at work, I said, Well, it's flu season. How many of you hear this on the radio? Oh, it's flu season. Come and get your flu shots. You go by the drugstore, they got a big sign, flu season, get the flu shots, you know. Well, they want to give you a message. So I was in agreement with the message. Well, it's the plague, it's going to come. And so I actually said to this person, I said, you know, I get it every year. I'm going to get it again. I get terrible sick when I get it. Sure enough, not more than a week after that, I was down. I was home. I was terrible sick. And I didn't even go to my bed. I went to the couch out in the living room and I said, I'm just so sick. I'm not going to bother anybody here. And somehow I must have had the idea. Somebody must have said something to me that maybe I should praise the Lord. Now, listen, I was in an outer court church, way outer court, okay? Somehow I got the idea that I should praise the Lord. So, somewhere around midnight, I started praising the Lord. I was kind of quiet about it. I wasn't going to wake the whole house up. But I began praising the Lord, and I was doing it out loud. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I don't know where I went. I got into a place in the spirit. I don't know how I got there. I don't know where I was. But all of a sudden, I looked at the clock and discovered it, I don't know, it was 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was still going. And my old man of carnal flesh took over, and I said, "Oh, I'm sick. What am I doing? I've got to rest. I'm going to be in terrible condition tomorrow." So I stopped my praise and I tried to go to sleep. Well, the sun came up in a little bit, and well, what's wrong? I'm not sick. I really couldn't figure out what happened. I tried to lay there for a while and I thought, this isn't right. I shouldn't be laying here. I feel pretty good. You know what I did? I got up and I went to work. Then I began to think about what happened. I thought, here's what happened. The devil came and knocked on my door and he said, "I have a package for Mark Yancey." I said, "What is it?" "Oh, it's the flu." "All right, sign here." And I accepted it. And I spoke in agreement with it. Do you know what I did? When I got home that night, I said, "Lord, thank you for healing me of the flu. I am never going to take it again. Satan, I hope you enjoyed trampling all over me because it's the last opportunity you're going to ever have to do that again to me." That would have been about 1972. How many years ago was that, Mike? You quick at math? 50 years? 52? You know what? I've never had the flu since then. When the doctor asked me if I wanted a flu shot, I said, "No, I don't think I need it. I've got immunity." He said, "Well, you're old. You're probably immune to everything." Listen, you can have a covenant with God in these things. I'll give you one more example. And this is the one that was in Matthew. Where did I say it was? Matthew, where it says, "Seek ye first." Well, anyway, this is the 1990s now. Oh, I don't know. It must be 25 years ago or so. I had what really happened is one of the tendons that make up the biceps. Bicep, that means there's two of them there. One of those tendons broke, and I didn't realize it. And actually, it took a physical therapist to discover that for me. Doctor didn't see it, but it happened. And I had pain. I had a lot of pain up here in my shoulder. And I decided I was going to ask the Lord to heal me. I'd been to doctors for this. Being in the hospital, you have access to doctors all the time. All you got to do is get a hold of a doctor, pull him over in the corner, say, "Hey, doc, I need this." And he'll, shots of cortisone, all that. It wasn't healing it. And I knew they weren't going to be able to heal it. So I went to the Lord. "Lord, I know you can heal me. Lord, I confessed. I did everything. I did all these things that I've talked about. Had people come and pray for me. Had people lay hands on me. Had people put oil on me. I had all these things done and nothing happened. Why was nothing happening? I went for 1 whole year. And finally, toward the end of the year, I said, "Lord, you are not hard of hearing. You are a hearing God. Why am I not getting healed of this pain in my shoulder? Why am I not getting healed? What is the problem? And you know, the Lord tried to speak to me and I didn't hear him. Do you know that? And the quiet little voice, I mean, it took 3 or 4 days. I mean, I'm getting desperate for 3 or 4 days. I'm saying, God, I'm not quitting until I find the answer. Why am I not getting healing? And this quiet little voice kept saying, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I finally argued with him. I said, yes, yes, yes. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, kingdom, kingdom. Lord, what am I preaching? I'm preaching the kingdom. Am I not seeking the kingdom? And that little quiet voice comes again. But seek ye first. Now I have to admit, I must be a very stubborn, stupid individual at times. I said, okay, Lord, I'll open the Bible and I'll read it. I opened the Bible and I read. Well, where is this? It's in, but seek ye first. Oh, here it is. It's in Matthew 6. I'm going to read it. I said, I told the Lord I was going to read it. Matthew 6. Now, where is it? Oh, 31. Here it is. Oh, here it is. Yes, yes, yes. Well, let me read a little more here. But take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed, or how shall I be healed? I added that one. Amen. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. I don't want to be among the Gentiles, do I? Amen. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Well, I've been telling him for a whole year. Surely he knows that by now. Amen. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, I couldn't figure it out with my natural thinking, but you know what I did? I said to the Lord, okay, I've obviously gotten the cart in front of the horse. I've been seeking my healing in the name of the kingdom of God, and I haven't been just seeking the kingdom and letting the healing come. So from this day on, Lord, you will hear no more from me about the pain in my shoulder. And if it blesses you that I carry this pain till the day I die, then blessed be the name of the Lord, I'll carry it. If that's going to glorify your name, I'll carry that pain, Lord. But you're not going to hear any more from me about it. From this moment on, this will be the last you hear. Do you know what happened? I don't know when it went away. It might have been an hour later. It might have been a day later. I didn't realize it. Somewhere a day or two later, I was trying to scratch my back, and I had my hand in awful condition, and I thought, oh, I couldn't do this. Now I'm doing it. I'm healed. But I don't know when it happened. Seek ye first. Well, here's the lesson that I learned from that. The lesson I learned, now all the things that I told you today, you can say, well, I'm going to make a list. Here's this, here's laying on of hands, here's oil, here's confession, here's the name of Jesus, you know. You know what? He doesn't do it by recipe or formula. These are all ways. Why doesn't he do it that way? Because he wants you to know him. I am the Lord, thy healer. Now you're going to have to get to know me if you want my healing. No matter how I do it, I'm able to do it. And the last one was seek ye first. Now he heard me for a year, and he was probably whispering to me for a year, and I wasn't hearing it. So what did I need? I needed to learn to hear the voice of the Spirit of God. And I haven't always been real good at that.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, let me shut this thing off and let you talk here a little bit. Wait a minute now. Stop the recording. Okay.